Great morning, everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of Thank God for Monday. I'm Brother Greg Cellini of the Franciscan Brothers of Brooklyn in the Office of Mission, Ministry, and Interfaith Dialogue at St. Francis College in beautiful Brooklyn, New York. My great pleasure to be back with you again today. The purpose of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to inspire you, our audience, to take personal responsibility for your professional satisfaction. We want to provide you hope, healing, and peace in these unprecedented, turbulent, uncertain times, motivate you to search deep inside yourself in the quest for fulfillment. Listeners, it's really up to you, as I've utilized the information we provide today, take full accountability for the decisions you make and a resulting outcome. Now, one of the goals of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to introduce role models of people who take very bold steps in their work lives. This is a very special time in our workplace and world when accountability has never been more important. As such, we are honored today to have with us a very, very special guest. Her name is Jennifer T. Long. Jen is a certified master coach and master trainer. Her management leadership development company, Management Possible, provides the support and discipline to help leaders at all levels, from first-time managers to C-suite executives, to master essential skills, earn the respect of their employees, and perform at a higher level. Jen brings 35 years of development experience and 10 years as a theater director to bear on her coaching and training, offering a most unique combination of skills. This very, very busy person is also an author. Her latest book, Own Up: How to Hold People Accountable Without All the Drama. Great morning and welcome to Thank God for Monday, Jen.
Good morning, Greg. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm excited to be here.
We are very, very excited to have you on Thank God for Monday today. Kindly share with the listeners and me from what city and state you are speaking, please.
I am speaking to you this morning from sunny and beautiful Denver, Colorado, here
You
in
have
the
just made
mountains.
this host and a lot of listeners very, very jealous. One of the most beautiful places in the world. I know it's extra early there. Thanks for getting up extra early to be with us today. Jen, sadly, we've only got 30 minutes. We could spend hours talking about you, this incredible book you've written. We're jumping right into the deep end of the pool, if you will. Let's talk
Let's
first
jump.
about it. Let's talk first about accountability. Why is accountability such a crucial aspect of successful business management? And does it impact actually overall productivity? And if so, how?
Well, it's fundamental. It's one of the, I want to say it's a culture standard for organizations, right? It's part of the deal. No matter when you show up in a job, people are expecting some level of accountability around what they've brought you in to do and how you're showing up. And so it's a fundamental understanding between people when we get together to do work. So if you're going to be successful in the business arena or in life in general, how you show up relative to accountability is critical because it's going to determine for you the kind of relationships you have, how you work through problems, how you work together with others. It's part of the stated agreement when we all get together.
Wow. And all of those you just talked about really impact overall productivity greatly, it sounds like.
Yes, because it's the one frustration when things aren't going well, right? If we don't do accountability well, our ability to work through and overcome all of the challenges we face is reliant on our ability to have conversations around accountability. And then if we're not good at that, we're not good at overcoming our problems. We're really good at working around and having the meeting before the meeting.
You got that right. Now, if I perceive correctly, there are some myths. There are some misconceptions that often surround the concept of accountability. Can you elaborate on these, please, and how they hinder effective leadership?
Well, the biggest issue that we have with accountability is that culturally, we have started to conflate accountability with our understanding of punishment, discipline, and consequence. And so because we see accountability in the light of discipline and punishment, we have a mindset around that. And that mindset holds us back in developing an effective skill set because nobody wants to be really good at punishing people. Nobody wants to be really good at discipline. And because we've conflated the two, we've lost our real understanding of how to look at accountability, which has held us back in actually getting good at it. So that's the big myth is organizationally, we see accountability as an outcome. And it's not an outcome at all. It's a practice. And so shifting your mindset around accountability as a practice and thinking about what it actually is, which is an act of clarity, helps people get through understanding how to actually do it better. And so that's the big myth that stands in the way. And the what happens is there's a gap in understanding between people as individuals. We all see accountability. When I say, hey, how do we define that? When we say accountability, what do we really mean? And when we all think about it personally, we think, well, it's personal ownership, it's responsibility, it's standing in your values, it's doing what you say you're going to do. So we all see accountability that way as individuals. And then I say, well, how does your organization define it? When you think about your organization and it says, we need accountability, what is it asking for? And that's when people start going, well, it's asking for results. It's asking for outcomes. And so when you look at the gap between how the organization uses it and thinks about it versus how you think about it individually, there's a need to close that understanding so that when we think about if we're going to create a culture of accountability, what are we actually trying to do? And how do we have that discussion?
Wow. You just said a key phrase there, a culture of accountability. I'm a big fan of organization dynamics, organization behavior. Do I perceive then you're trying to really instill accountability as part of the culture, Jen?
Well, right. So because culture is that kind of gray area, it's like the shadow of what happens, right? We can't really touch it and do anything about it, but it's certainly there and we can see it. And how we behave, right, is the worst behavior we'll tolerate is kind of the culture that we get. And when we work toward a culture of accountability, what we really have to work toward is what is the standard in terms of when we talk to expectations, when we work to get clear, when we recover from mistakes, because people are going to make mistakes, and how we respond to those mistakes matters. And I would say that when you do a culture of accountability, accountability is essentially a suite of communication skills, and our conversations are our relationships. And our relationships are our culture.
Wow.
How we talk to each other, the tone we use, the means, right? So if I'm talking to you, if my conversations with you are always in text and all caps, right? What kind of a relationship are we having? And what does that say about our culture?
Sure,
versus
absolutely.
Do I actually pick up the phone and get on a Zoom and see your eyeballs and do we connect?
There's a lot of reasons I love this great book of yours, but the subtitle, How to Hold People Accountable Without All the Drama. One of my favorite songs, Mary J. Blige, No More Drama, No More Pain. And in your book, you mention this drama being a byproduct of poorly executed accountability conversations. Give us some tips here, please. How can business leader minimize the drama So to ensure more productive dialogues, we need help in this area, Jen.
Because the drama is all the emotion and the disappointment and the frustration and the not talking about it and the feeling like you gotta, you know, dredge up an entire history with somebody to go in and have a conversation about what they're doing or not doing. That's the drama end of it. And when we get wrapped up in that, we're not really focused on what our real issue is. And accountability always starts with you, right? It's your issue until they'll take ownership for it. So because accountability is an act of clarity, you have to get clear first. What's going on for you? What is the issue? What's the unmet expectation? And when you think about that expectation, and this is surprisingly an area of frustration for people, because they'll think it's one thing and it really it's something else. And so because people don't take the time to dive into what their issue really is, to peel it back to the thing that's really bugging them, we end up having conversations about stuff that's not on par, right? We're talking about around stuff. We're not talking to it. And so an example of that is if, for example, a manager says, I've got issues with this guy's time management. He's not returning calls to the customers.
Okay.
In a timely manner. So he can't manage his time. And so when you say, so is your issue really around time management? What's the behavior? What are you experiencing? Well, they get the messages, they get the cue, but then they don't return it within 24 hours. And so when you start to go, okay, so they don't get the call in 24 hours, that is that time management, or is that just the behavior you've got to correct? So then it's talk to them about the 24-hour return time. The expectation is that you get back to them in 24 hours. I'm concerned because you're not. Talk to me about that. Instead of, I've got issues with your time management, and making it this bigger issue that it's not.
Oh, that is absolutely brilliant. And it's fascinating because I've never heard of this, and I don't know if it's actually your trademark or if this is a phrase you came up with, this clarity of ownership. But it seems like it really plays a great deal in establishing a culture of accountability within an organization.
Well, right. And if for anybody who's a Brené Brown fan, right, clear is kind, unclear is unkind. And so accountability is an act of kindness, for crying out loud. Let's get clear. And I need to be clear. And did I set an expectation, or did I just assume? There's so many unstated expectations. And because it starts with you, it's the first question is, did I say that out loud? Right. A lot of times we have these thoughts in our heads that they should know their job, right? Should they, or should you as their manager make it clear what you're expecting?
Wow. Oh, that's great. No doubt about it. One of the things I really love about this book, one of the many things, Jen, you've got a lot of practical tips, a lot of practical steps. Maybe you can share with the audience a couple of practical steps for managers so they can implement immediately come Monday morning, those managers who are listening today, to improve accountability on their teams.
All right. So I've distilled the whole book is basically how the six ownership steps. We call it the SOS conversation model. And SOS, six ownership steps to help people see the conversation. So when we say it's practical, it's let me break down the conversation for you into how you want to approach it. And like we just talked about, the first step is identifying your issue. Take a minute to really stand out of the frustration, the disappointment, the outcome that you got that you're frustrated by, and think through what specifically is going on for you. What's the unmet expectation, and how can you frame that up in a very clear way, right? That's the first step. The second step is how you might want to approach the conversation. And in the book, I give you an analysis framework. And what that's designed to do is help you understand how to approach the conversation. Because if I'm going to be a good manager, I want to get ownership isn't just accountability isn't just owning a bad decision, owning a poor outcome. Accountability is also owning what the solution needs to be and owning the development, the change you're going to make over time. So there's an arc to accountability. It's not just, ooh, my bad. It's, I understand what I did. Here's what I think I need to do to get better at whatever I need to learn. And here's what I'm going to do going forward. And let's talk about it and let's time frame it. Let's see how I'm applying myself going forward. So you want that whole arc of ownership. And when you do step two, you start to analyze, am I dealing with a behavior problem? Am I dealing with a skill issue? Have I got somebody who's got an attitude problem, which means they've got the skills, they've demonstrated the behaviors, and for some reason they're not showing up how they should.
Wow.
Or have I got somebody who's in conflict, right? Who thinks something is more important than what I think is important? And are we operating at some kind of odds? And so when I understand that framework, which, you know, context drives behavior, when I have a better context, I have the right conversation about the right thing. And because I take time to think that through, I'm better at targeting what actually needs to be owned and developed or changed. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. So those are the first two of those steps. Is that right, Jen?
Those are the first two steps. Yeah.
Great. You have some more for us.
I do. I'm going to walk you through all six. The third one is looking at impacts, right? What is the impact of what's happening, right? If this person is making a poor behavior choice, what are the impacts of that poor behavior, right? I never make it to the meeting on time. What are the impacts of that? You know, that the team feels that we always have to go back. They're annoyed because we have to repeat the first 10 minutes of the meeting because they missed it. We don't feel like you value what we're doing on the team because you don't seem to be able to show up on time. The general disrespect, you know, which diminishes your credibility. I mean, there's all kinds of impacts that come from habitual tardiness, right? So understanding impacts and being able to bring those to bear, because that's what makes ownership a little bit more compelling when I understand the impact I'm actually having. And then the fourth step, which is the one everybody always wants to skip, is when you start this practice, rehearse. Say out loud what you want to say to the person before you ever actually have the conversation. Because we're all really, really good in our heads. We are so smart in our, I'm going to go in, I'm going to have this conversation, I'm going to say this thing. We're going to have a throwdown and this person's going to, we're going to have that come to Jesus moment, right? And then we don't, right? How many times have we gone into a conversation ready to have it and then we talk about something completely different? Because that energy we have with people influences how we're feeling, right? And when we don't have the language at the ready, if we haven't taken the time to really say, this is how I see it, this is the language I need to use, this is the specificity of what I'm dealing with, then I don't have those handholds in the moment when I see your eyeballs, and the energy of connection changes how I'm feeling.
From a practical standpoint, I'm sorry, how does, from a practical standpoint, do you do this in a mirror? Do you do this with another trusted colleague? Or do you do that?
Yeah.
I'm flabbergasted.
Yeah, you want to do it. And the funny thing is you've got to do it out loud, right? I can't do it. And when you start to say things out loud, and when we train this, everybody gets coached. And so there's a lot of role play that happens, because I will tell you, the people will be like, oh yeah, let me do it. I've got this nailed down, and they'll start, and then they'll go, oh wait, that's not what I meant to say. Because they'll hear what that really sounds like.
You want accountability, but you're asking the other person for their input in how they can improve, how they can do this better. That makes perfect sense.
Right. Right. If you're going to own how you're showing up late to the meeting, how are you going to own not doing it anymore? Right. Because I have to be, and what I'm listening for is, how real is your answer? How is it something you've tried before and hasn't worked, or is it actually legit? And that's a try. Let's do that. Right. The thing is what are the solutions? Right. Which is what we just talked about. So those are your six steps.
Wow.
Identify your issue, analyze it, know your impacts, rehearse, then have the conversation, and then let them build the solutions.
These are great. That's why I say this book. And before the end of the show, we're going to ask you, where can our loyal listeners get this great book, Own Up, How to Hold People Accountable Without All the Drama? Now, it's very interesting because I think you touched on this a little bit before, but let's peel the onion now, please. Because managers, I'm sure a lot of them, I know if I was a manager, I would be struggling with holding people accountable, certainly. But what mindset shifts do you want, Jen, managers to consider so they become more comfortable and effective in this important managerial role, holding others accountable.
Right. Well, letting go of the idea that it's outcome, letting go of the idea that it's discipline. It's neither. If you're good at accountability, you're good at clarity. And you got to get clear first so that they can be clear on taking accountability. And the other idea is that you cannot force people to be accountable. Accountability is taken. And the only way I'm going to take accountability is if I'm clear on what it is I'm taking. And that's the need for the conversation, because that's the only way I get clear is through dialogue.
Wow. Now, I hate to ask this as a follow-up, but are there just times when someone doesn't want to take accountability? And can you do anything in those situations?
So this is the only point at which there's a consequence, right? Because if you're going to have accountability, the ugly twin is consequence. And when you're good at trying to create clarity and through clarity, create ownership. And if people really want to back themselves in a corner and they want to not take responsibility and they want to blame others and they want to self-protect. So I hear all of the things that you're telling me, but what I don't hear is that you're willing to take any responsibility. Is that what you're telling me? So I'm going to get clear on the fact I'm not hearing ownership. And I'm going to ask that question and wait patiently, because sometimes silence is a good way to really get someone to think through what you've just asked them. And if they want to continue to blame, which some people do, that's when you just say, I hear you. Thanks for having a conversation with me. I'll handle it from here. And you shut down the conversation, because at that point, what you know is they're not going to take any ownership. They're not going to take responsibility. Then you need a moment to think through. So what is the, and a consequence is a corollary effect. What is the corollary effect of not owning whatever my issue is, right? Whatever that thing is it habitual tardy thing and there's no ownership there? So what's a consequence for that versus some larger issue, right? And consequences should not be outweigh the act, right? It should be a corollary balance of if here's the issue and here's what the consequences. So that's that balance is important, and you need time to think that through as a manager before you bring it to the table.
Absolutely. 100% agree there. That's wonderful. Sadly, we've only got about 7 more minutes, Jen, but I've got some important questions to still ask you. In this great book, you discuss increased trust and reliability as outcomes of well-established accountability. Trust and reliability go up. This is good.
Right.
Leaders, they'll measure and cultivate these qualities within their teams. Is there a way to measure these?
It's a measure of psychological safety, right? How fast can you get to the tough conversations, as opposed to one of the big indicators, I made jokes about it earlier, is you'll stop having meetings before the meetings and meetings after the meetings. To talk about the things you need to talk about in the meeting, right? So one of the measures is we actually table the issues and make decisions about things and build solutions together much quicker, right? We're willing to explore and learn from. We're a lot more self-reflective because we're willing to learn from our errors and mistakes, and we're willing to talk about those openly and take ownership for what we do with them. And that applied learning is an applied. We should all be better by having worked together, and our ability to hold each other accountable keeps that performance bar high. And so our trust and reliability is corollary to how often and how frequently we'll self-reflect and be honest about what we're doing or not doing well, and then what we want to do about that.
Oh, that's so wonderful. No question about that. Now, if it's okay with you, I don't want you to share anything confidential, but maybe can you share a success story or two, or a real world example from your coaching experience that really illustrates the transformative power of implementing the accountability principles outlined in your book, please?
Well, I've got kind of a funny story in the sense of working with folks on one of the exercises that we do in a leadership development course is we have people create a stakeholder map and really think about who are the critical people that you work with on a daily basis, that if those relationships aren't intact, you can't get your job done. You can't perform. And when you map out all of those people, right, what are those names? Who are those individuals? And then think about the nature of that relationship. Is it green? Is it full trust, open, supportive? Do they have your back? Do you have their back? Do they share information? Right? What is the nature? How would you define a high functioning relationship? Because I think one of the expectations we all have, but isn't as an unstated expectation, is that we have positive, productive working relationships with everyone on our stakeholder map. But nobody ever says that outright.
Oh.
Right. And so managers should start thinking about that expectation so that you're thinking, because part of the issues around business performance is we do a lot of workarounds, or if somebody we don't like is in the meeting and that guy and work around him and we don't share information with him, and it just makes it difficult. So if you're rating them red, green, or yellow, right, which relationships are broken with no trust, right? Which ones are yellow? And then what color is your stakeholder map? You've got work to do if you've got a lot of yellow and red. And how do you have those conversations, and what are the gives and gets with those folks, and how are you putting that on the table and creating the expectations and the mutuality to begin with? And so one of the guys is like, my map is yellow. And so obviously assignment is you got to go have a conversation, right? What are your expectations of this person? And then what are their expectations of you? And are you clear on what these gives and gets are? And the funny part was, is he was like, can't you just say, here's what I need? And it's like, no, you have to say, here's what I need from you, but what do you need from me? Right. And so he came back into the next class and he said, so I had the conversation and he's like, evidently it was all my issue. The other guy was like, no, I'm fine. I'm totally fine with you.
Oh my goodness.
And so what part of the discovery was, is a lot of the expectation and issue is all stuff that he'd come up with on his own that he hadn't stated. And so it's an interesting learning curve to start to understand how much unstated thinking you're doing without really communicating to the people that you work with.
Wow. Oh, that is an amazing real life example. Thanks for sharing that. We've saved, Jen, the most important question for last. From where can our loyal listeners purchase Own Up? How to hold people accountable without all the drama? How can they best follow you, please?
They can follow me on LinkedIn, right? Jennifer T. Long on LinkedIn. They can follow me on, I guess it's not Twitter anymore, it's X. Own Up with Coach Jen on Twitter. Oh, X. then, you can purchase Own Up, the book, through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all those places. You can find more information about the program we do for companies at own-up.com, which is our website. There's more information there. There's downloadable forms about the six steps that I've given you and the diagram that's in the book for the SOS conversation model. You can find all of that on my website.
Terrific. Listeners, no excuse. We got a great Franciscan with us today. She could have held on to all that good inside of her. No, what did she do? She shared it with the world in this great book. She shared it with us the last 30 minutes. Now it's your turn. Buy one copy for yourself, at least one for someone else. Share the good. As Franciscans, we want to do this. And indeed, it's holiday time coming up closer and closer. This would make a great stocking stuffer. Because this is the kind of book that you give to a manager, but also you give to an individual contributor as well. We need more accountability in the world. We need more accountability in the workplace. And this book will go a long way in getting our world and our workplace full of greater accountability. Jennifer T. Long, we can't thank you enough for coming on Thank God for Monday today. You've enlightened us. You've really inspired us regarding accountability. Continued success, joy, happiness, great contribution, and all this amazing work that you're doing.
Thank you, Greg. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you as well. Listeners, guess what? Once again, we're out of time. Greg saying our hope and prayer is that when you wake up on Monday morning, just like Jen Long does, you'll say, thank God, for Monday. Until next week's episode, have a great week, everyone. Bye-bye.